Let us pray together. Wondrous Lord and mighty God, a new year stretches out before us, and we want to make the most of that gift. Thank you for bringing us to 2014. Show us the way forward. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Every one of us sitting here today is somewhere on life's sacred journey. So it's appropriate, I think, as we move into this brand new year, for every one of us to step back and reflect and ask, how goes my journey? Some people tend to see life this way. They see life as consisting of a whole bunch of different component parts, each roughly equivalent in importance. So there's physical well-being, and there's emotional well-being, and relational well-being, professional, financial, recreational well-being. And in this view of things, spiritual well-being is just another co-equal component part in the overall mix. But then along comes Jesus and invites us to take that spiritual component and move it right into the core, right into the center, and arranging everything else around that. Because you see, you and I are created in the image of God. God is spirit, and therefore we at our core are spirit beings who will never be able to fully thrive until our spirit is being well tended. When that happens, when our spirit is being well tended, the health and the strength of our inner spirit begins to radiate out, providing guidance and wisdom and power and energy and balance for all these other aspects of our life. In other words, take good care of your soul, friends, and your soul will take good care of the other parts of your life. So with that in mind, we can refine our question, not just how goes it on your journey. Let's ask a more specific question than that. How goes your spiritual journey? How goes it with your soul? That's our focus today. And for the next 6 weeks of Epiphany, if you read my email this week, then you know that starting next week and looking ahead at our readings from our lectionary, they have to do with the life of Andrew, the patron saint of this congregation. And we're going to take this opportunity by looking at Andrew's life, the life of this disciple of Jesus, to do an inventory of our own lives and to note, in looking at him, the 6 foundational building blocks of any growing, authentic spiritual life. I've broken this down into an acrostic, which you can see on the posters around the church. As we see demonstrated, I think, in the life of Andrew, and actually when you read Christian seekers and thinkers throughout the past 2,000 years, they often say these are the component parts of a spiritual life that is healthy and growing. They are acts of service, which is our love in action, reaching out to help other people, to make ourselves available to other people who are in need. There's nourishing our soul, the ways we connect ourselves day by day through music and meditation and prayer and other things that touch our soul to fill us with the love of God day by day. There's discipleship. That's making decisions intentionally about how we are living our life in a way that is following the way of Jesus. There's rendering offerings to God. Generosity. You know, Jesus talks more about money than almost any other topic. So if we're going to talk about the life of discipleship that Andrew models for us, then we have to talk about generosity. We have to talk about money. There's engaging with others. That's another foundational aspect of a healthy spiritual life. Through small groups, praying with other people, intentionally connecting our lives in spiritual ways with those around us. And finally, there's worship, which, if you think about that, might be the most important of all. And so we'll talk about how we meet together to express our praise, our awe, our devotion to God, and the experience that we come away with from that. And so throughout Epiphany, I'll be speaking about each of these foundations to a spiritual life. And I'm going to ask you to consider where you are at with each one of them. And brothers and sisters, it's not to push you. We don't do that here at St. Andrew's. Nobody comes to a deeper level of discipleship by being shoved. And it's not to judge you. Again, no one responds. No one grows if they feel like they're being judged. We're not into that. We recognize, though, that people are at different points, even different paths on their spiritual journey. But here's what I think. Being mature in our faith sometimes requires us to ask the hard questions. And that's what we're going to do. We assess our spiritual lives so that we might grow deeper into the reality, into the love of God, thereby making ourselves more useful to other people who encounter us, and also finding within our own lives more balance and more peace for ourselves. By looking at Andrew, hopefully we can learn enough to hear God calling us as individuals to grow in this way or that, and to live into our namesake as a parish. So next week, I will begin with A, acts of service. But today, before we get into all of that, I want to talk to you about the process of assessing where we are at spiritually as individuals, which can sometimes, if we're doing it right and if we're doing it honestly, can involve some pain. Today we heard about the baptism of Jesus, which was the beginning of his public ministry. And it was shortly after this experience that Jesus began calling his own disciples, the first of which was Andrew. And it is at this early stage of the ministry of Jesus that many people found Jesus to be exciting. He's the new kid on the block, and they're responding to him. They felt something in him that stirred their souls, that beckoned them to follow. But as we go on through his life, we see that these dozens and even hundreds, sometimes thousands of people who are responding to him early on, many, if not most of them, stop. They stop following. They fall back into their own lives before they met him, and they never are heard of again in the Gospels. Many make a good start in their relationship with God, but few actually follow through and make a lifetime of pursuing their spiritual life. Jesus taught about this. If you remember the parable of the sower, that's exactly on this topic. Jesus warned his disciples about this, that they would be tested. Their life would come pressing in on them. And the first thing that falls away when our jobs are so demanding, when our family life requires so much, when the busyness of other commitments presses in on this, what falls away first is what is discretionary. And for many, that is their spiritual life. Long-term spiritual growth, just like any relationship, requires that we establish patterns intentionally that will sustain a lifetime of walking close to God and close to God's people. And friends, I'll be honest, I think that's why sometimes in the Episcopal Church, we don't see young 20-somethings, because after they've left our house, they leave the church, because we have not either modeled or put these foundational components of spiritual life into their lives. We've not set them up for a lifetime of spiritual walking. And there are lots of potential distractions, as you know, as we make our way along. As we move through life, there are lots of temptations to turn our attention from that which is most important. On top of that, there will be ups and there will be downs in your spiritual journey. Every saint experiences that. Years ago, when Mother Teresa was just beginning her ministry in Calcutta, she spent an entire day walking around Calcutta looking for the right home in which to begin her ministry to the sick and dying. That evening she sat down, and this is what she wrote in her journal. "I wandered the streets the whole day. My feet are aching, and I've not been able to find a home. And I hear the tempter telling me, leave all this. Go back from whence you came." Several years later, after she died, other portions of her diary began to come out, where she wrote very frankly about dark nights of the soul, where it seemed to her that God was far away, and she found herself in doubt. Mother Teresa, doubting. Mother Teresa, having a dark night of the soul. But during those dark times, Mother Teresa was very deliberate and intentional about maintaining a spiritual rhythm in her life. Worship, gathering in small groups with people of faith, serving, giving, praying, meditating on the scripture. During those dark nights of the soul, when God seemed far away, when she just wasn't as into it as she was before, when her feelings were not bearing her along, she kept herself in such a spiritual rhythm that she was still able to nourish her soul during that time and make it through and go on to build a mighty oak of a relationship with God that not only blessed her and shaded her, but millions of other people. If it happened to Mother Teresa, it will happen to us. There will be good times and there will be bad times. Your faith, your commitment to church, and your relationship with God, it will be tested. Maybe the test will come because it's a frequent test. Maybe the test will come from a conflict in our church community. Any of you who are married know that when you marry someone, you marry their extended family. And you end up with a whole batch of crazy in-laws. Right? Well, I've got news for you. When you form a relationship with God, with Jesus, his family comes with. We are your crazy in-laws if you're in relationship with Jesus, so get used to it. You can't be in relationship with Jesus and not be in relationship with Jesus' family. And with that comes challenges. Once a while ago now, I was in this church where there was this couple. And they were relatively new to the church, maybe there for about a year and a half. And I was working there at that congregation, and they got very offended by something that I had said in a sermon. They just profoundly disagreed with me. In the aftermath, we tried to talk it through, but we couldn't reach a resolution. And so they left, which was painful because we were close. 2 years later, they came back. And when they did, they wrote me a note, and this is what they said. "We were searching for the perfect church. We were trying to find the perfect pastor. Perfection was the goal. These road-weary travelers were led back home to this church to open arms, because for us, we've realized that we're in God's perfect will in this imperfect church. We love you and stand with you." Now here are a couple of people who understand what it takes to sustain a long-term relationship. Whether we're talking about a spouse or with a church community or with the living God, it requires a clear-eyed recognition that there will be good times and there will be bad times. And I have to be prepared to push through it all with great intentionality. There's a great verse in Scripture It's in the second chapter of the book of Revelation where John writes to the church at Ephesus. He challenges them. He just lays it right out there and he says to them, you have abandoned the love that you had at first. You have abandoned the love you had at first. And there are people here at St. Andrew's who are in that place. I know because I watch you with a pastor's heart. Perhaps there was a time when you came to church and your excitement for your love of God and for God's people was fresh. You didn't mind that other people had rough edges because you were in love. And you served and you gave and you connected to others. But time has passed and things have happened in your life, maybe here. And one thing led to another and now it's not the same anymore. Maybe some of us feel we'd like to skip as many Sundays as we could get away with. Now you come, maybe perhaps you have a job to do. It's out of obligation, but it doesn't give you joy anymore. Maybe you're living in St. Andrew's past. Maybe another past. And you're stuck there. Maybe your life of prayer or your life of meditating on Scripture is drying up. And if that's where you're at today, I want to remind you of what it's like, what it was like when you first fell in love or back in love with God. I want to remind you of how beautiful it was, what it meant for you, for your life, to have the sense of belonging to God, that sense of harmony, that sense of peace, and communion with the Almighty. And I want to call you back to that. Because life, friends, is a long journey, and we need God on that journey. Come back to your first love, the Christ of Revelation bids us. You may say, John, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to get it back to good. Nor do I. Only you can discern that. But this much I do know. It's just like when we're in a spousal relationship that starts to drift. The only thing that will change it is if you decide to be deliberate about regaining what you had in that relationship. And so for some of us, it may mean, I need to move into 2014 with an absolute promise to myself that I'm going to get regular in worship again, even on those Sundays when I don't feel like it. I'm promising myself I'm going to give myself that gift. I'm going to do it. Or maybe for some of us, it's I finally need to dare to get involved with a study group. I'm going to stop avoiding it. I'm going to get to know the people of this church. I'm going to become friends with the people of this church. And we're going to walk this journey together. Maybe for some of us, it's taking time each day for just a few moments to connect with the love and presence of God through music or reading or meditation or prayer. To achieve a greater balance within ourselves. Why not give yourself that gift in this year to come? Don't say, I don't have time. We have time for what we make time for what we give priority to. So now as we've arrived at the beginning of this year, I encourage everyone who wants to be intentional about a lifetime of relationship with God and the church to step back and just take an hour, just 1 hour, to do a personal assessment sometime in the next few weeks over Epiphany, to ask the question, where am I right now on my spiritual journey? Am I gaining momentum or am I losing momentum? Is it as good as it once was or am I fading? And then begin to put together some specific steps that you feel called to take to maintain or regain spiritual momentum in your life. I'll be giving a small booklet to you next week to help you with that, containing a few questions that will hopefully challenge or evoke reflection about where you're at in on your spiritual journey. Friends, I'm asking you, as your priest, will you take an hour during Epiphany to do a searching self-assessment and contemplate what might I need to do to intentionally maintain or regain momentum spiritually? If you say, John, I just don't have time, then I guess that's the answer, right? Because relationships take time and take intentionality. Let me close with this. True story. About a 94-year-old man named Gordon Yeager and his 90-year-old wife, Norma. They'd been married 72 years. And then one day, they were driving around Marshallton, Iowa. And they were in a terrible car accident. They were rushed to their local hospital. Their son, Dennis, rushed to be there with them. Dennis says, as mom and dad were in the emergency room, both with terrible injuries, what struck me was that they were more interested in each other than in themselves. Each of them was asking, how's mom? Or how's dad doing? Didn't take the doctors long to figure out that the injuries were so severe and their ages so advanced that there was nothing they could do. It was just a matter of time. So they tried to make them more comfortable. They wheeled them together into the same room, their beds side by side. Gordon and Norma reached out and took each other's hand and waited. It was 3:38 p.m. that afternoon in October 2011 that Gordon breathed his last. The son, Dennis, says, then a strange thing happened. Even after Dad breathed his last, his heart monitor kept registering. So Dennis asked the nurse, what's up with that? The nurse pointed out that Norma was still squeezing Gordon's hand, and so her heartbeat was probably now radiating through his body and registering on his heart monitor. Exactly an hour later, Norma breathed her last. Think of it, 72 years together, an hour apart, back together for eternity. In the aftermath, the son, Dennis, put it this way. He says, I don't believe there was any big secret to their marriage. Sometimes one of them would get terribly mad, but they always worked everything out. And in the end, they chose one another. They were committed. Imagine having a relationship like that with God, walking hand in hand. Two hearts beating in unison through the ups and downs of life, sharing with God those mountaintop experiences, sharing with God the tragedies of your life, walking hand in hand with God, even into the valley of the shadow of death. Friends, to get there requires commitment. To get there, you've got to keep that relationship fresh and growing, and that requires intentionality. So I ask, as we move into 2014, what are those things you're going to intentionally do to gain momentum in your spiritual life? Take good care of your soul, and your soul will take good care of the rest of you. First things first. Amen.